words now and speak to us through them, I ask in your name.
Amen.
There's a story about a pastor who was building a wooden trellis for his climbing vine to go up, and as he was hammering away, a neighbor boy stopped by on his bicycle and was watching him hammer. And so the pastor noticed him and kept on hammering away and thought that the boy might leave, but he stayed there, and the boy didn't say anything. And finally the pastor asked, are you wanting some tips on gardening? And the little boy said, no, I just want to see what a preacher says when he hits his thumb with a hammer. Well, our gospel lesson today is talking about a vine, but it doesn't mention a hammer. However, it does speak about how we react to situations and what we say in different types of situations. About 35 minutes southwest of London, there was an old palace by the name of Hampton Court. And it was a residence for Henry VIII, one of his favorite residents. And so he lived there, and a couple of hundred years later, George III lived in that particular palace. And so as he lived there, someone planted a grapevine. That grapevine began to grow, and it was nurtured and pruned and taken care of. And 250 years later, it is now one of the oldest grapevines in the world. It also measures 13 feet in diameter at the stem, and has some branches that go out 120 feet. It's referred to, some say anyway, it's the oldest vine in the world. I would venture to say that there's another vine older than that, and that, of course, is Jesus Christ. Jesus is what we call our vine, and that's what our gospel lesson talks about today. So if you want to get out your bulletins and turn it into our gospel lesson, I'm going to be talking about this parable of the vine and the branches. And so Jesus says, I am the true vine, and then later on he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Throughout the Bible, God referred to his people as being his vineyard. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 7 says, the vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are the garden of his delight. In Isaiah chapter 27, verses 2 and 3, God declared, sing about a fruitful vineyard. I, the Lord, watch over it. I water it continually. I guard it day and night, so that no one may harm it. We can kind of see images there of the church. Now God has promised to take care of the church and watch over it. When Jesus wanted to talk about the fact that salvation was not based upon works, he used an image of a vineyard. He said this in Matthew chapter 20. The kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for the vineyard. So those who belong to Jesus Christ are the vineyard. He says that he is the vine and his followers are the branches. One commentator noted that the Jews of Jesus, they were looking forward to a Messiah. And so because of that, they often referred to the Messiah as the vine. And so as Jesus used this term, the people would have understood that he was talking about the Messiah and that he was the Messiah. And so as Jesus used this phrase referring to himself, he would also go on to say that we are the branches. That brings us to our story in John chapter 15. Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever remains or abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, that's kind of a strange saying if you think about it. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. But there are lots of things that we can do apart from Jesus Christ. Lots of things that we don't need him to help with or anything like that. But what is he talking about there? Well, I think Paul sums it up when he says in 1 Corinthians 15 that, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. So we can do all sorts of things apart from the Lord. But if we have a relationship with the Lord, then the things that we do are not in vain. The things that we do really matter for time and for eternity. And so Jesus is talking about the importance of the reality that we need to be in Him, connected to Him as the vine. So how does Jesus make the most out of our lives? How does He make our lives more fruitful? How does He help us to achieve the things that He wants us to achieve? Well, the first thing He does is actually spoken about back in verse 2 when He talks about pruning. He says this, every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes that it may bear more fruit. One expert said that vines often produce something called sucker shoots. And those shoots are those that never bear fruit. They just suck the nutrients out of the vine. All they produce are leaves, and the gardener cuts them off because if they don't, if he doesn't do that, they are unproductive and they rob the vine of its life-giving source. Not only do gardeners prune those sucker shoots, but they also cut away any dead wood that is on the vine. And because of that, it keeps this dead wood from harboring insects or other diseases that could ultimately cause the vine to rot. In addition, they prune the live wood, the good stuff, in order to prevent the life blood of the vine from going into the wood instead of into the fruit. In the early spring, the vineyards look like a collection of barren, bleeding stumps. But in the fall, they're filled with grapes because they've been pruned. In times of crisis, maybe like the present-day quarantine, I think God oftentimes prunes us a bit. I don't know if you've noticed that or not, but during this time, when things are so much different, we tend to focus on our lives, maybe think about our lives in different ways than we normally do. And perhaps when we think about our lives, we may think about some things that we might need to change or things we might need to do differently. And so those things can be ways that God can begin to prune us. So how we respond to the crises in our lives can really show us how attached we are to the vine. So how does the Father prune us? Well, He simply sometimes uses the Word of God to prune us. Many years ago, someone did something to me that made me really upset, angry, and it never crossed my mind to forgive them until I read a passage where Jesus said, if you do not forgive men their sins, how will your Heavenly Father forgive you? And so immediately I realized that I needed to forgive this person. When I did, it was like a great burden was lifted off of me. So sometimes the Word of God can help to prune us by pointing out things in our lives that need to be changed, need to be done away with. So Jesus helps us to bear fruit, not only by pruning, but He also helps us to do so by keeping us connected to Him, as the verse says, to remain in Him or to abide in Him. Verse 4 says, remain in me as I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself unless it abides or remains in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So what does it mean to remain or to abide in Jesus or in the vine? Well, one of the things it means is to keep in fellowship with Christ so that His life can work in and through us to produce the fruit. It certainly involves the Word of God and the confession of sin so that nothing can hinder our communion with Christ. But it also involves obeying Him because we love Him. Listen to what Jesus says in verses 9 and 10. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in His love. So how can we tell if we're remaining or abiding in the vine in Jesus? Well, it's not by feelings. We don't base that on our feelings. But rather, this abiding relationship is something that is as natural as a branch to a vine. It must be cultivated in the Christian life. It's not automatic. Abiding in Christ involves worship, meditating on God's Word, prayer, sacrifice, and service. But what a joyful experience all of that is. Once you begin to cultivate a deeper communion with Christ, you don't want to go back to the way things were when you might have lived as a careless Christian. So what kind of fruit does God want to develop within us? Well, you might think about the fruit of the Spirit that Paul talks about in Galatians chapter 5. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are the sort of qualities that God wants to develop within us. But before we get into those types of fruit, God also wants to get rid of the bad fruit within us. And he talks about that in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. We might call this the bad fruit of the Christian. And it could be these sucker shoots that produce the bad fruit. And Paul says, the acts of the fruit of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So Paul just lists a few things that really indicate that there are things in our lives maybe that we might need to get rid of, that bad fruit in our lives. And so as we repent of those things and turn away from them, then that opens the door for the good fruit of the Spirit to be developed within us. So God wants us to get rid of those things that are not of Him, not beneficial for us and for others. And Jesus puts it this way in Luke chapter 3, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. He wants to replace the bad fruit with the good fruit of the Spirit. I just mentioned those a few moments ago. But those are qualities and characteristics that God wants to develop within each one of us. Paul also tells us we're to bear the fruit of good works. So part of the fruit we're to develop is seen in the good works that we do. All the way back to Genesis, God tells Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply. Obviously, he was talking about having more children and populating the earth and that sort of thing. But if we were to take that phrase, be fruitful and multiply, and apply it to this particular story, we could say that God wants us to bear a lot of fruit, the good fruit of the Spirit, and then to multiply our righteousness and to multiply His kingdom by sharing the good news with others as we have the opportunity. In our second lesson today, Peter talks about the fact that we are to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks us for the reason for the hope that we have within us, but do so with gentleness and with respect. And so as we are prepared to share the good news with others, then perhaps they have the opportunity then to come into the kingdom of God, to receive salvation, and to have this new relationship with Jesus Christ that we are called to not only cultivate, but to enjoy in this life. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you have become our vine and that we are attached to you as the branches. Lord, help us to not allow anything to keep the good fruit of your Spirit from developing within us. Help us to turn away from everything that is producing bad fruit that will not be beneficial. And then help us to grow in our relationship with you by becoming more righteous and by being willing to share our faith with others as we have the opportunity. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.